Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. And you know, we're looking at Genesis chapter 48 and 49 this week with the death of Jacob. And we're seeing this great contrast here about one who dies in faith, as Hebrews says. These all died in faith. We have the Christian who dies in faith with the whole perspective of death, all contrasted with what we looked at this week, the three different approaches to death, especially in our culture, a death-denying culture, where we don't even speak of death anymore. We speak of passing away or passing by and passing or entering in. And death is a horrible word to people, so they avoid to even speak of it all altogether. Well, we can't just deny death. It is the reality. And the Bible has given us a lot of information and what the Christian's perspective is to be about death. And that's what we see here in the life of Jacob. And one of the things and the characteristics we saw yesterday is that through a long life of struggle, of refinement, of trial that Jacob went through, he was able to cry out at the end of his life when he was sick, when he knew death was imminent. He said, "I have waited for your salvation, O Lord." That had always been the case, that those who were thirsting for the living God, who wanted to be in God's presence, were those who were ready to be in his presence because they were in the thick of deep refinement and trial. That's how it is. That's why I say that the health prosperity message, these messages that the faith healing sort of stuff, all these sort of things are a denial of the pilgrim reality that the Christian is right now in this present setting. We are not home yet. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that this life is characterized as a life of suffering, as a life of struggle, as a life of pain. Through much tribulation, said the apostle, we must enter in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, I suppose that the health and wealth message fits very well in a climate of prosperity. When everyone's doing well, making a lot of money, and we have everything so rosy, well, you know, as times change, that message just isn't going to get a lot of ear because it doesn't correlate with reality. People are suffering. People are going through struggles. People have cancer. People have... The list is endless, and sometimes God doesn't want to fix it. You know, we may despise these struggles, but they are the very things that he uses to ultimately show and refine us to show how great his love is. I mean, that's the reality in Genesis, is that after years of struggle for Jacob and his sons, after all that struggle, when they could see the big picture, remember what God said through Joseph, God meant it all for good. It's the Romans 8 verse. You know, that even though we don't understand everything, that he means all these things for good. He works everything together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. I quoted yesterday Timothy Rogers, and I want to quote him again. He was a pastor who suffered in his ministry with deep physical suffering and trial, spiritual depression. It was so bad that for years he had to leave the ministry. Well, listen to what he said in light of all of that. God as a father sometimes castigates his children to teach them to value his favor more than they ever did. If we did not feel the bitterness of his anger, we would not so sweetly relish his love. If he did not sometimes withdraw himself, we would not think his presence as comfortable as it is. If in winter we did not have stormy or frosty weather, we would not take great pleasure in the summer season. Oh, how pleasant are the smiles of God when we have long lain under the terror of his frowns? How pleasant is it to have the hope of heaven when a man has long trembled at the very gate of hell? When we have been long wandering for our follies as in a strange land, how pleasant is it to come home again? After we have been among our enemies, how pleasant is it to come to our heavenly Father, to have him meet us with encouraging words and embrace us in his arms, to feast at his table, to have him call us his children, to forget all our former injuries, and to have him be at peace with us. Sometimes I will really see Christians suffer at the end of their lives, and loved ones struggle to understand why God is putting his people through this. Can you imagine what it must be like when the struggle and sorrow has come to that degree, and all of a sudden at the moment of death, they enter into glory, to a place where the apostle can't even describe with words because it's so great? I hear what Jacob's saying here. I've waited for your salvation, Lord. It's what Luther said, let good and kindred go, this mortal life also. And you see this in his confidence of where he's going. In verse 29 of Genesis chapter 49, then he charged his son, saying, I am to be gathered to my people. Do you hear the anticipation in that? We've seen this with Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. They were gathered to their people. What's he talking about? He's not talking about burial. He made a distinction between resting with his fathers back in chapter 47. Jacob fully believed that his body would rest with his fathers, but his soul would be gathered with his people. That's awesome. How do you know this? That when you die as a believer, your soul is immediately brought into the presence of God, and as Hebrews said, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, that's the promise of the gospel. That's exactly what's being understood and what Jacob understood in light of death. This is why Jacob gives so much instruction concerning his hope, how his family is to care for his body. He wants it in the cave that Abraham purchased because he believed that that piece of land was representative of the new heavens and the new earth that God has promised to Abraham. Canaan was connected to the promise. It was the land that they looked for was the heavenly land. That land of which this earthly land is a shadow, a reflection of the heavenly land. And so he made Joseph, his son, promise that he would not bury him in Egypt. Here is true faith. Here is true faith. He's not a model for starting well, but he's definitely a model for dying well. Look at what he left to his children, my friends. A testimony of everything he had learned, everything he valued in this life. I've waited for your salvation. He spoke of where he was going, and then he made known how his body is to be laid to rest. Can you imagine the effect we would have on generations to come if when our deaths were coming, we would not be tossed by fear, but that we would tell our children and our grandchildren with joy where we're going? I've waited for this all my life, sons. And the time has come. Everything I've believed, everything I've embraced, I am now going to receive. And I'm going there. I'm going to heaven. Make sure one thing, though. Promise me this. At my funeral, that it will be about the promises of Christ, what he has done, what he has accomplished. Make it nothing about me. I weary and I'm sick of going to funerals, and all I hear is how wonderful the person was in their life and how many good things they did. Well, these people don't need a gospel then. Why do they need Jesus? These pastors doing that are denying the very gospel they're supposed to be proclaiming. Let it be about the faith of our fathers. Let it be about Jesus. You'll notice, Jacob is commanding his children. Faith in Christ is no option. The command was given for them to rest in the same promises. And so in verse 33, when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into his bed and breathed his last. And he was gathered to his people. What a beautiful verse. He was immediately gathered to his people. How long did Jacob live? Well, he lived 147 years. How long has it been since he died? Thousands of years. He's been enjoying a place of eternal happiness, communing with the saints, with his Christ for thousands of years. Imagine from Jacob's perspective daily seeing a saint enter heaven and sit down and is communing and serving and enjoying a place so wonderful it can't be described with words. He's been living in a better land, and today we read of his death. What sort of questions does that provoke in us? Well, the distinctive truth of Christianity is that everyone is going into one of two destinies, one of two eternities. I heard on the news this past week, you know, the Reverend Jesse Jackson said, "Michael Jackson has earned his rest. Let him rest with the divines." Well, you know, no one earns their rest, first off. Only Jesus earns anyone's rest. But I don't know if we're not making the message clear. If one dies apart from faith in Jesus Christ, my friends, the sad reality the Bible proclaims is that immediately they go to a place of eternal torment. If any of these great figures that we see die in Hollywood, if they are dying apart from faith in Jesus, their life was the greatest tragedy ever. I say that with sorrow and with tears. What will these people say to their maker? If Michael Jackson died without Jesus, what will he say to his maker? "I taught the world to do the moonwalk"? You see where our message has to be so clear. One day we are going to die. We're here for a moment, and at the moment of death, we're swept into eternity, to where will our souls be gathered. The issue today, my friends, is faith in Jesus Christ while we live, while we breathe. What a tragedy it would be to see millions gathered to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus said, and ourselves cast out. You know, if somebody would have asked me years ago, "On what basis do you think you will be gathered into heaven?" I would have been stumped. I was totally apathetic. I'm sure I would have just presumed, "God's on my side. I've been raised a Christian." Those things don't cut it. We're left with the abiding testimony, my friends. Do we have faith in Jesus Christ, demonstrated like Jacob has faith in Christ, where he could say with confidence where he's going, to whom he will be gathered? Believe in Jesus today, and you can know and have this same assurance in life and death.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.